is Jack Nicklaus hitting out of a berry drive.
Welcome back to another pro preview of the Teed Up Golf Podcast. Body excited. Huge week in golf has just been wrapped up. I think the LPGA Tour was the best event for the weekend, which saw Nelly Korda, the first player in the last 8 years to win three consecutive starts. It was absolutely incredible. She held off Aussie rookie Hira Naveed, who finished outright second in just her second LPGA Tour start. Made the cut on the number with back-to-back birdies late in round two, which was incredible. So big shout out there to Hira. And then we head over to the Houston Open, which saw Stephen Jager with his maiden tour win, holding off Scottie Scheffler to win by one. Jager closed with nine straight pars, and that was just enough for a 3-under 67 to finally win in his 135th attempt on the PGA Tour. Scottie Scheffler opportunities went begging, boys. Tyrell texting about it. Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler this week, that's definitely one that he let slip, which we've said a few times now. But yeah, when you go back through his round, he missed several sort of 6 to 12 footers that could easily have dropped. And then just that 15th hole seemed to have it in for him the last rounds 2 and 3 where... Second round, he just pulled one left, hit the edge of the green, and it shot hard left into the water. And then the third round, hit a great shot that could easily have stayed 6 feet from the pin and instead sucked back off the green all the way down into the drink. So he dropped three shots on those two, on that hole in those 2 days alone. So, and then obviously he had that meltdown on the 18th in round three, I think it was.
Yeah, he's in rare form, the great man. And Stephen Jager breathed a sigh of relief when he saw that one slip past to force the playoff. So, yeah, pretty incredible the form Scottie Scheffler's in. The DP World Tour. Brad McGill, sorry, mate, I haven't introduced you. You're sitting there up in the rain at Berwick Montuna driving range. I've had so many technical issues. What's going on, firstly? How are you?
No, I thought you forgot about me, Q. Yeah, I'm well. I'm good. Yeah, we've had some technical issues with this storm rolling through at the moment, but... Yeah, as you said, it was a great week of golf. I agree. I think the LPGA Tour had the best event. Nelly Korda was very, very class in the rain for her third win in a row. And then, yeah, the PGA Tour, yeah, just watching Scottie sort of, you know, keep messing it up when the rest of the players sort of wanted to give it to him was quite interesting. And I think his putting woes, you know, makes the Masters very, very interesting again. But I'm going well, Q.
That's good, mate. And yeah, the DP World Tour, obviously heaps of Aussies in the field. Not one of them made the cut, but it was a bit of an anticlimactic event with Kita Nakajima of Japan. He got the win. He was made the choice last year to focus on the European Tour instead of the smaller circuit on the US Tour. And he shot a 1-over 73 to win, I think it was, by 7 or 8 shots at the Hero Indian Open, which was a bloody funky golf course. I know you watched a heap of it, Ty.
I did watch a heap of it. It was actually a really good golf course to watch them play on. It was the sort of course where if you were hitting the ball well, you could score really well, as the winner clearly showed. But there was quite a few others that were a decent amount under par at the end of the week. But if you were slightly off, there was a lot of penalties to be had and a lot of really interesting lies in those bunkers in the thick rough. Just quickly, McGill, we saw Kita Nakajima go into the back nine with an 8 or 9 shot lead and obviously held on for the win. How many shots do you reckon you need to be up going into the back nine on that course for you to hold on with that field?
Probably 3 back.
3 back to get the win.
Yeah, I'm no good with the lead.
No good with the lead.
Either 20 in front or 3 back.
How many in front do you reckon you need to be, Q?
400. At a minimum. At least 50 shots for me, I reckon, to hold on.
No. If you were 18 shots up, you could get it done.
Me playing against PGA, against professionals on that golf course.
Yeah.
Under that pressure, it is a good question, Ty.
40 shots at least.
What, you reckon you need 40 shots for 9 holes?
20 for 9 holes. So 40
It's only for the 9 holes. You got to hold on.
So you reckon you're going to shoot 55
to feel comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I reckon's about right. That's what I would have said for you.
What would you say, Ty?
Oh, for you, I would have said just a 1 or 2 shot lead. For me, I'd be confident with 10, I reckon. Assuming that one of those guys might go 4 or 5 on the back, and then if I can shoot 5 or 6 over, maybe hold on.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be confident. I think I'd want 15.
Yeah, 15, I'd be very confident. 10, I think's about the number. Where it'd be 50-50.
No, but that's very good from you, Ty. Very interesting question. You know, it's about time you brought something to this podcast.
Thanks, mate. Does anyone want to hear about my under-10s cricket or football achievements, or are we just going to move on this week?
No, let's go. What do you got? What the fuck's happening with this podcast right now?
I know, blokes. You two will end up kissing your lips one day, I'm sure.
Right,
let's rip into this week in golf. We have plenty to cover off. We've got the PGA Tour. We've got the Texas Open. Liv hits Miami, and the LPGA Tour has a rather unique match play event, which we'll run through. There's also Augusta National Women's Amateur, which is incredible. Maddie Tolkart, obviously, we had on the podcast earlier in the year. We're pegging it up there at Augusta National, which is a great initiative, which started back in 2018. But Tyben, you're our PGA Tour man for this week, the Texas Open, one of the flagship events, one of the oldest events on the PGA Tour. Give us the rundown.
Yeah, this week is the Valero Texas Open, which is, as you said, it's the third oldest event on the PGA Tour. Established in 1922, Corey Connors, the Canadian, is the defending champion, and he's actually a two-time winner of the event, having also won in 2019. Interestingly, it's a Greg Norman-designed golf course, which he also collaborated with Sergio Garcia on that design. It features narrow tree-lined fairways. It's a really flat property. There's only about 100 feet of elevation change from the lowest to the highest point on the course. 7,400 yards, par 72. And just an interesting fact about the course, most of the downhill holes play into the prevailing wind and the uphill holes generally play downwind, which makes it quite difficult when you're playing to sort of an elevated green, but the wind's behind you, really tough to stop the ball on the green there. And obviously in reverse, if you're going downhill, hitting into the prevailing wind makes it difficult to sort of flight one a little bit lower and keep it down under that wind when you're already elevated from the fairway of the green that you're hitting onto.
Yeah, it's definitely a second shot golf course. McGill, have you run your eyes over the PGA Tour for this week?
Yeah, I've had a quick look at the golf course. I've sort of, you know, got a lot of information regarding my tips, but, you know, I've watched this event over many, many years and it's an exciting event. And I'm actually really looking forward to seeing if anybody can grab the last spot in the Masters. Obviously, that's up for grabs for a PGA Tour winner. So that's sort of the one that's perked my interest in this week.
Yeah, absolutely loving it. And obviously, we saw last week Stephen Jager get his start at Augusta for the, you know, he's been trying to get that for years and years and years. So big shout out to him. Moving into the Masters, I'm bloody pumped. Well, we've got a whole week and then we're into Augusta next week. Got a couple of cool episodes as well. We've got Harrison Crowe, who obviously played in it last year from Australia, who won the Asia Pacific Amateur last year in Thailand. And I've chatted to Jasper Stubbs just before he jumped on the jet over there to Augusta National. So I'll bring those out to everyone just before the Masters drop next week as well. So stay tuned. Make sure you hit subscribe for those. Let's move on now to this week's PGA Tour tips. We'll go to our winner, Tyben. Because you did all the work this week, you can have the first crack at the stumps.
I'm picking Rory McIlroy this week to win. He hasn't played since the Players a few weeks ago. And I'm no doubt he's been practicing in preparation for the Masters next week, where he's obviously trying for the 10th time to complete the career Grand Slam. Now, his last four starts have all resulted in finishes between 19th and 24th, which for someone like Rory's probably a little bit below par from what he'd expect out of himself. But if he has spent the last few weeks working on the areas of his game that have let him down, I can see him coming out with a win this week. He has played this tournament twice, finishing second in 2013, but missed the cut in 2022. So not a lot to really read into there. But I just think if he does go out and win this week, the Masters will be sort of really exciting heading into that. Mm. Rory on the back of a win, Scotty Scheffler, almost three straight wins, plus the Liv guys teeing it up. I think it'll be very highly anticipated, the Masters this year, if Rory does well this particular week.
Yeah, but it definitely set an amazing narrative. McGill, who's winning for you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the defending champion, Corey Connors. He's won twice on tour and both of them coming at this event in, as Ty said, 2023 and 2019. He's had a pretty solid year so far. He's made every cut he's played in, which is eight events. He's had three top 25s and two of them coming in his last two starts. So he finished 18th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational and then 13th at the Players, where a third round 73 really cost him a chance at pushing for the top five in that event. But yeah, he's absolutely flushing it this year. He's 14th in strokes gained off the tee, 7th in stroke gained gain approach, second in green in regulation, which is almost at 75%, which is just absurd ball striking. But he's unfortunately, he's been chipping and putting like Ty. So he's 135th in strokes gain around the green and 146th in putting, which has been costing him. But obviously he's had some success around this joint and knows the break. So hopefully he can hold a few putts to go along with his elite ball striking.
If you can knock Ty on anything, mate, I don't think it's his short game. That's definitely something I think he's pretty good at. You folks need to play a bit more golf together, I think. I'm going with a bloke to bounce back this week and a guy who had a pretty terrible Florida swing, to be honest. I'm going with Colin Morikawa leading into major season. It's like I said just before, it's a second shot golf course. He hasn't had the best year so far, but I think Colin Morikawa at his best is the best approach player in the world. So I'm going with Colin Morikawa to get the W this week and hit the Masters running. He had that year a couple of years ago where everyone thought, here we go, he's the next Tiger. He's going to take this PGA Tour by storm. Hasn't eventuated. He's had some okay results since then, but I think this is going to be the year where he goes whackety whack. So now we'll go to our top 10 and Bolter for this week. Ty, who you got?
Billy Horschel for me this week, picking him on the back of two very strong weeks. He finished 12th at the Valspar 2 weeks ago and finished in a tie for 7th at the Houston Open. He improved his scores each day, shooting 71, 68, 67, and then shot the low round of the day on Sunday with a 64. He's played this event 9 times, and it's either been really good or really bad on each of those occasions. He's finished 3rd, 3rd, 4th, and 11th in the past. But the other five tournaments, well, other five times he played this tournament, he finished 74th, 75th, and 3 missed cuts. So he's either really good or really bad at the Texas Open. And he's actually not in the Masters yet. So the last spot in the field is on the line this week for the winner if they're not already exempt. So I think that's a big motivation, obviously, for Billy to get out there this week and pick up a win.
Nice. I like Billy Horschel. I wasn't too sure on him with all the LIV and PIF stuff going on and all the PGA stuff going on. But the more I saw him open up a bit more, and he was interviewed on the weekend on the PGA Tour, and even a little bit he's done on Full Swing and things like that. Like, he just seems like a pretty nice fella. Loves West Ham United as well in the soccer. He has that on his golf bag, which is a bit odd, but all power to him. Bradley, who's your bolter?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Billy as well, Q. I'm a big West Ham fan myself, so I love seeing that golf bag out on tour. Anyway, for my top 10, Q, I'm going to move away from the soccer now. I don't know too much about it, if I'm being honest. So my top 10 is the Swedish flusher, Alex Noren. He's 7-7 in cuts made this season, and he's had 4 top 25 finishes and a top 10. He finished 11th last week in Houston. And similar to Connors, he's a very, very consistent ball striker. He's 4th in green in regulation percentage, and he ranks in the top 25 in most of the ball striking statistics on tour. So that's sort of the blueprint I've got for a winner this week, is some great ball striking. So yeah, Alex Noren and Corey Connors for me.
Awesome. That's good to see. Last week, my bolter was Wilson Furr, the Furr baby. And if they had to stop the tournament with it after round one, oh my God, buddy, the Oracle, Q Nolan. But nah, no chance here. But this week, Andrew Novak, he was 9th at this event last year. He's 16th on the PGA Tour for a strokes gained approach. And I'm banging on about this second shot golf course. As McGill mentioned, ball striking is really important as well with his tips in Alex Noren. But Andrew Novak's had 3 top 10s already in 2024. He missed 1 cut in his last 6 events. And the other 2 cuts he made, he finished T7 and 53rd on the weekend just gone. The only knock on him is he's 98th on tour for putting and 108th strokes gained off the tee. So if he can clean up just, I reckon, one of those areas and sort of play around the tour average, he'll be right up there. So Andrew Novak for a top 10 this week for me. I think we're going to get a few in, and I got my first winner, boys, for the year. I took your page out of your books, boys, and tipped the favourite in Nelly Korda going the three-peat. So welcome, Q. I'm up on the board, which I'm very happy with. And I don't know what you're on about a bit earlier, McGill, saying that I just tell everyone I backed the winner. I've never backed a winner this year.
Oh, I'm sure we could rewind back through the podcast and be like, oh, yeah, I put a bit of money on this guy through 54 holes and, yeah, no, I'm pretty happy with that. Rah, rah, rah.
I've heard it way too many times.
Well, I do it, but I still don't win.
So, I don't know why you mention it, then I'll just keep it to yourself.
Oh, my God, the full forward of the century in under 10s. Let's start talking about relevant shit. No. Boys, let's move on before we rip each other's heads off on this podcast, and we'll go over to Live Miami. The best tour on the world right now is back and pegging it up week before the Masters, so it'll be good to have a final look at all the big dogs before they head to Augusta National. Bradley, as a Live aficionado, run us through the rundown.
Yeah, so Live Miami, obviously they're playing at the Blue Monster this week in Doral. It's a 7,590-yard monster. It's more water than land. It's got some thin fairways, some well-guarded greens, and this is going to be an absolute cracker, this one, with, as you said, the boys getting ready for the Masters. The last 2 years, Miami has hosted the teams event, so it's going to be on its own as a single event this year, so I'm really looking forward to it. Some of my memories of the Blue Monster is Rory McIlroy famously hurling his long iron into one of the big lakes there back in his Nike golf days when they used to have the World Golf Championship. So I said, I'm really looking forward to seeing this one and seeing the boys gear up for Augusta.
It's going to be a great event. Love Liv, and can't wait to see all these guys take on the PGA Tour players. And I reckon a Liv player will win at Augusta, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Let's go now to our picks. Bradley, who's winning?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Cam Smith. He's made a big statement in the last 24 hours by shaving off his mullet, and I think he means business. He's obviously heading into Augusta where he's got a great record. He currently ranks first in putting average this season, along with third in birdie average, averaging a tick under 5 birdies per round. He's been working really hard in his driving, where he currently ranks 52nd on the Live Tour with only 45% of fairway. So he's got to fix that one up this week if he's going to have a good week. But those rest of those stats are really, really incredible. But yeah, I expect a massive 2 weeks for Cam. And one of the other memories that comes to mind involving Cam Smith was the first team championship at Live, where he almost led his team, known back then as Punch GC, to the team's championship, where he fired a 7-under par 65 in that final round to help them post 6-under, and they only finished one shot back from the four aces in the first season of Live. So that was an incredible round. I remember him playing with DJ. DJ sort of had a few birdies late to get four aces over the line, but yeah, it was obviously 7-under par round, and his team only posted 6 to show how incredible that round was. So I'm expecting him to have some similar form this week.
Okay. Do you think the haircut has something to do with April Fool's, or if it's legit?
That's a good point. Maybe. You know what? I think you're probably onto something there.
I did text Herbie just to pass on to Cam that we're hiring a new accountant at work, and if Cam's interested in a career change, we'll be happy to take him on. Down here at Teed Up, we need someone to run the books of zero, but that'd be great. Ty, who's winning for you?
I'm picking Bryson DeChambeau to win this week. When the PGA Tour played Doral, we often saw longer drivers of the ball near the top of the leaderboard most years. So Bryson obviously fits the profile of players who tend to excel on this particular golf course. He's in really good form this year. He's finished 9th, 4th and 6th in his last 3 Live starts. And as McGill mentioned before, the team's championship last year, Bryson finished that final round with a 67 on the final day to help the Crushers pick up the title. And I was just looking at him going into the Masters, and interestingly, he's never finished in the top 20 at the Masters. But I think this year that all changes for him, and I can see him being right in the mix, either at the Masters or one of the majors this year, if not winning one this year. I think Bryson's in for a pretty big year.
I really hope so. I think he has the best social media of any golfer in the world. The effort he puts in, it is absolutely teeming down with thunder outside the studio tonight.
Room which shaking.
It's actually shaking down here, but the effort he puts in to sort of bring the public inside his mind, I think, is incredible, and I think he needs more accolades for doing that, because it makes everyone feel like they know him quite well, and he gave me heaps of time at Live last year as well. Like, he's very, very approachable and was a nice fella. So all the best to Bryson for this season. I hope he goes well. I'm going with Taylor Gooch to bounce back. I think it'd be quite ironic for him to win, especially leading into the Masters, where he thinks he deserves a spot with all the amazing results he had last season. Obviously, Live Tour, the Tour Player of the Year, and calling out a few things earlier in the year as well. So I'm going with Taylor Gooch. I think he's too good a player. He hasn't had some great results this year. He hasn't won yet. We're all expecting him to. He's only 32, so he's sort of coming into the prime of his golfing career. And I think it'll be a bit of a one-fingered salute to the powers that be with the OWGR rankings to be like, hey, look, I'm one of the best players in the world. You need to give me invites to these events. Because Joaquim, like, pound for pound's he's obviously on those data golf rankings, top 10 player in the world, based on latest results. But if Taylor's fair dinkum as well, he probably needs to follow the Joaquim Niemann suit and go and play some tour events down under, or go and play some Asian tour events like Joaquim does. He gets after it and gets those invites. So, but I'm going for Taylor Gooch to get the job done this week at Live Miami, which will be an incredible event. I can't wait to peg it up, to watch it. The time won't be as inviting for us here in Australia again because it's not in Asia, but still be very interesting. Can't wait, boys. Live's back and, you know, cup last event before Adelaide, which will be amazing for Australia. So can't wait to see them get over here and peg it up at the Grange. We'll move now to the LPGA Tour. Now, this is the T-Mobile Match Play. It's going to take place at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's a very different event to what they normally have. Instead of 64 players going head-to-head, or have they done in recent years using a pool to determine who would advance to the knockout stage, an element of stroke play will be employed. So here's how it'll work. This is a rundown for this week on the LPGA Tour. 96 players will compete over 36 holes of stroke play Wednesday and Thursday. The cut will be made to the low 65 players and ties. The remaining players will compete over 18 holes of stroke play on Friday, with the top eight using aggregate scoring over the three rounds, qualifying for the match play. A playoff will be used to break those ties. So the quarterfinals and semifinals will take place on Saturday. An 18-hole championship match will take place on Sunday, preceded by the 9-hole charity match featuring NFL stars. It's a $2 million event. All the best players in the world are there pecking it up. So it's a bit of a raffle match play. You know, they're all very good players. So you can throw a blanket over the field. If you're a roughy punter like me, it's a good week to back an outsider and see how they go. But McGill, you can have first throw at the stumps for the LPGA Tour this week.
I'm going to pick one of my favourites in Lynn Grant. She's been playing some pretty solid golf lately, so I'm expecting her to get through to the match play. And once she does, she's a very, very good match player. She lost in the semi-finals of this event last year, and she's a very, very highly rated match player, so much so that when the Solheim Cup was held, Europe sent her out in the first match of the Sunday singles in her first Solheim Cup, which is normally reserved for someone who's very highly rated and trusted to get their first point on the board for their team. So Lynn was entrusted with that honour. So, and she actually went 3-2 in her first Solheim Cup. So very good match player, very good ball striker. And yeah, she's going to do some damage this week.
Nice. Tobin?
Going with Ayaka Faru this week, which is the same pick as last week. She had another strong finish, finishing in the tie for 13th last week. And that's on the back of finishes of 23rd, 8th and 3rd. And in this particular tournament last year, she was the runner-up in the final. And on her way to making the final, she defeated some pretty strong opponents like Maya Stark, Celine Boutier and Leona Maguire. So I think she goes one better this week and Ayaka Faru gets the win.
Oh, so I'm going with Lexi Thompson. She's had a low-key, pretty good start to the year. Reared her head on the weekend at Fire Hills. Looked like she could have gone down to the wire with Nelly Korda, but didn't quite get it done. She's had some pretty good finishes with a seventh and a fourth this year already. So she's a very good player, Lexi Thompson. I think she's too good a player to be ranked at number 42 in the world. I think she's probably a top 10 player playing below her best, but you know, this sort of event, she hits the ball a lot longer than a lot of the other girls on tour. Match play scenario, she'll probably have a few more birdie looks. So I'm going with Lexi Thompson to shock them and sort of bounce back this week, which will be amazing to see. Now, boys, before we wrap up this week, there's another huge event in the women's game, and that is the Augusta National Women's Amateur, which is one of the most exciting women's amateur tournaments in the world. 72 of the best women amateurs in the world will compete over 54 holes of stroke play. A cut will take place after 36 holes, advancing the leading players and ties to the final round. At Augusta National Golf Club, it's a very, very different sort of format. The first 36 holes are contested over 2 days on the Island and Bluff Nines at the Champions Retreat Golf Club in Augusta National. Then the entire field goes over to Augusta National for the official practice round on the Friday, and then the final round with the top 30 takes place at Augusta National, and whoever made the cut plays off for the win. It's a pretty incredible tournament for these girls, and the fact that they get to play it the week before the Masters, it'll be in absolutely peachy conditions. The azaleas will be out. It'll just be incredible. So Maddie Hinson-Tolkart, podcast alumni, great friend of the pod, absolute ripper. We spoke to her earlier in the year after her dominant year in the college golf in the NCAA. There's a few ways you can qualify as well for this tournament. So the reigning US Women's Amateur Champion, the reigning Women's Amateur Champion, the reigning Women's Amateur Asia Pacific Champion, RNA Girls Amateur Champion, the US Girls Junior, the reigning junior PGA champion, past champions of the Augusta National Women's Amateur within the last 5 years. It's only been running since 2018. And the 30 highest ranked players from the US, United States of America, based on the year's prior World Amateur Golf Rankings. And after qualifications of number 1 to 8, the 30 highest ranked players not otherwise qualified will get a start. So it's, and there's a couple receiving special invitations as well, like every tournament. Now, when we spoke to Maddie Tolkar, we spoke about what you get when you win this tournament, and she wasn't exactly sure, but if you remain an amateur, you get invited to the next 5 Augusta National Women Amateurs, the 2024 US Open, 2024 Women's Open, the British Open, the 2024 Chevron, and the 2024 Evian Championship. So you get 4 major starts, which is pretty incredible, and invited back to play in the Augusta National Women's Amateur if you remain an amateur for the next 5 years. So there's a fair carrot being dangled. Australia's got a rich history there. Justice Boissio from WA played there last year. Kirsten Rudgley the year before. You know, they're breeding them like hotcakes over there in WA, these young women coming through. So it's incredible. So all the very best to Maddie. If you're going to watch it, it's on KO, I'm pretty sure. Cracking event to see the best female amateurs go at it. And we've all got to get around Maddie Hinson-Tolkart. She's representing Australia, which we absolutely love. So all the very best to Maddie. Can't wait to peg it up, to watch her peg it up at Augusta National. It's a pretty cool event for these girls to peg it up at, you know, the most sought-after golf course. And considering Augusta National only had male members up until a couple of years ago, it's a pretty cool initiative, don't you think?
No, bang on cue. It is, you know, anything that, you know, supports women's golf, I'm all for. And, you know, if we can get more people on Augusta National to play and more eyes on Augusta National, I'm also all for that. So I think it's, you know, good things all around. Yeah.
It's going to be great. Make sure we all get around it. Get around Maddie Tolkart, as you would have heard when we had her on the pod the other week. Absolute champion and legend girl. So all the very best to the WA product. Aussie golf's flying, as we saw here in Navid. You know, second to Nelly Korda in just her second start on the LPGA Tour. Something in the water over there in WA when it comes to women's golf at the moment. They're absolutely churning them out like bloody Easter eggs over Easter, which was bloody nuts. So. And lads, just before we sign off for this week, a big shout out to all the lads picking it up at the PGA Tour of Australasia's Q School. The first stage is being played at Moona Links on the Legends course from the 3rd to the 5th of April. A lot of friends and associates who we all know are pegging it up there. So all the very best fighting for their jobs for the next season on the Australasian Tour. We wish you all the best, boys, and may the best man win. So, lads, thanks so much for joining me again. It's always a pleasure.
No, it's all Q. It's always a pleasure to spend some time with you.
Good on you guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Tee It Up Golf podcast. If you could please help support the show by hitting the subscribe button on whatever platform you are listening on and giving us a rating of 5 stars. It goes such a long way to help us progress the show. Also, jump over to our Instagram page, Tee It Up Pod. We're on TikTok, we're on YouTube, we're doing all that sort of stuff. So to stay up to date with what is going on with the show. For feedback, guest suggestions, or advertisement inquiries, please email us at hello@teeitupod.com. Cheers.